This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to Get Started Investing, a production of Equity Mates Media. This series is everything you need to get started on your investing journey.
You don't need a lot of brains in this business. Investing in yourself is the best thing you can do. Anything that improves your own
talent. Now you can get rich very young just by having an idea.
I mean, I can buy anything I want, basically, but I can't buy time.
Welcome to Get Started Investing. In this podcast, we cover all the basics that you need to start your investing journey. We unpack all the jargon and the confusing bits, hear your investing stories with the goal of making investing less intimidating. And as always, we love to have a good time along the way, especially in this episode. As always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm good. I'm excited for this.
As always, excited, yes.
People have been requesting this guest for a while. He's been requesting this for even longer.
Back by popular demand, it is not Warren Buffett.
He started a bit of a whisper campaign amongst the Equity Mates community, I think. I heard, unconfirmed, but I heard he was sliding into people's DMs saying, comment on Equity Mates posts asking for me to come back.
Without further ado, we are excited to welcome back our good friend and Get Started Investing extraordinaire, Rohan. Rohi, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Good to be back.
So, if you have just joined Equity Mates and the Get Started podcast specifically, and you haven't heard the three-part series that we did with Rohi, then we suggest you go back and have a listen to that as we went from zero to hero with Rohi and essentially took him from not being in the markets to in the markets. And this episode is going to be an update on where you're at, Rohi. And I think, quote, you want to make dollar bills.
No,
you're changing it every time. No. Rohi's been pointing out cars that he's like, when I'm a big investor, that's what I'll own.
So, yeah, if you haven't listened to the series, go back and do so because Rohi started investing in the markets with CommSec Pocket from memory.
Yes.
And yeah, as I said, this is going to be an update on where you're at. And to be honest, it has been one of the best series I think that we've done in terms of reception from the audience. So a bit of a minor celebrity over here, Rohi.
You don't have to butter me up anymore. You've got me here. So.
Yeah, calling him hero, calling him a minor celebrity. And now the hard question.
Still 29 and single though. So if you do want, to slide into his DMs, go for it.
And a budding investor. But look, enough of us vaguely introducing you. Maybe for people who haven't heard the third part series, tell us about yourself.
Okay. As you guys said, my name is Rohan. Rohi to some. I have a job and low bar. And I, about, what, 6 months ago, was it? You guys finally wore me down and got me on the show and convinced me to start investing. I think where we pretty much summed up last time for the reasons for not investing were laziness. So without giving anything away, there are still elements of that that hold true, you know.
You're still lazy.
Still elements of that hold true. You guys have really prompted me to invest.
Nice. So a quick discussion, I guess, on what we covered in the last three episodes because it was 6 months ago and as we said, we went from zero to sort of hero. So I think what we really ended up on you investing in a couple of ETFs, right? Mm-hmm. What were they? Because I can't remember.
Look, I think...
Jeez, no one's done their homework. I reckon it was a sustainability one and then a tech one from memory.
Yeah. Because I remember, and this is what I found going through many of them, is
The overlap
is pretty strong.
Yeah.
So I can't remember, but I do know what I'm invested in now. So I've got Sustainability Leaders, Global 100, and Tech Savvy.
Jeez. NFTs. 2 out of 3.
Nice. Were those the three that we landed on, or have you added more?
Well, we only did 2 last time. That's what I thought, from memory. And we've ended up with 3 now. Well, no, I can't remember which 2 that I initially picked, should I say. But I have been chopping and changing. And you guys have... Yeah, Redis is not liking this. So you guys did, you know, say... you guys did try to get out of me what I had been doing, and I was kind of playing cards close to my chest because I thought, you know, let's wait until we get on the episode to talk about it.
Sure.
So the on the one side, I haven't made that leap into individual stocks yet.
Fine.
And I feel like perhaps by the end of this, we can look a little bit more into that, even though I think that's also what we said last time. But on the other hand, I have been kind of tinkering with the different ComSec Pocket apps. Perhaps not the best idea, judging by Renes' expression.
I think we're jumping ahead here, because I think for people who haven't heard the 3-part series, let's just... start by covering what we covered, and then let's get into the discussion of your terrible decisions since then.
Okay.
So you came on having never invested before, as you said, laziness being a big part. Mm-hmm. What were some of the other barriers that you were facing?
Not knowing where to start. Before, you know, we got onto the whole ComSec Pocket thing, I had a general idea of what ETFs were and obviously know what stocks are and stuff, but as to where to actually go to put my money in, didn't know where to go initially. So that was a barrier, I guess. Well, that was one of the main ones, and not couldn't really be bothered to find out more on how to do it. I also thought it would be more difficult than what it was. I've since found that it is super easy, super easy to the point, alarmingly easy to the point where I've, to a degree, until probably a few weeks ago or a few months ago, actually, which is when I started the tinkering, I had applied a set and forget model, because there's a feature in ComSec Pocket where it says, do you want to make this a recurring sort of deposit situation?
Yeah,
so
nice.
There were a few barriers. You realized it was easy. We did the do your own research, but we will claim the very first live investment on air. Never been done before, never been done since.
Yeah. Big caveat, so you're not even sure of your own claim. Own research.
But what I hear is that we broke new ground with that. And then before we get into what you've done since, how was it received?
How was what received?
Your 3-part series.
I don't know. You tell me. It's your podcast.
I think some feedback was that it was received really well, and a lot of the questions that you were asking were questions that a lot of our audience had. So I think by the end of this episode, we could unpack more questions that hopefully resonate with our audience as well. Mm-hmm. So let's move to where your journey is at now, because I personally, and no offense, left the 3-part series thinking that you'd put the whatever it was in, 25 grand or whatever. No. But no, it wasn't. It wasn't. That's a stitch up. Whatever amount you'd put in, and you'd kind of just leave it there. Yep. So has that been the case?
No. So you're not wrong for thinking that, having known me for a very long time. The follow through sometimes has been known to be lacking sometimes. No. So after the 3-part series, kind of, it wasn't really on my radar. In the near aftermath, it wasn't. But as you know, there was some feedback being provided, I thought, oh yeah, I should probably go look at the thing that all that was about.
Yeah. So you did keep it in there. You just turned a blind eye to it.
Oh, I didn't. Did you think I just withdraw my money back?
Maybe.
It wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
No. I didn't do that. I just didn't, look at it again and do anything for probably like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then I started looking at it, and I think there was a point where I saw a little bit of positive performance.
Nice, dude.
I love a bit of performance.
But and that kind of spurred me to, in a sort of degenerate gambler sort of way, let's chuck more in there, it'd be great. And that cooled.
What called?
The positive performance that I saw in the short term. But that didn't really hinder it because, you know, the immortal words of Bryce of leave it in there. It's the long run, you know, Mr. Buffett over here. Maybe you say the same thing too, Ren.
Nah, but, I'm much more creative and original than Bryce.
Okay. So that kind of resonated with me. And I then thought about what was the whole point of... you know, doing it, and it was, you're better off doing this than just leaving it in the bank.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you've got something to lose, mm-hmm. but I don't have really much to lose by following through with this. So then I...
Well, let's just unpack that for a second. So saw it going well, thought opportunity to put some more in because it's looking great, put some more in, and by obviously the nature of the stock market, it doesn't always go up, fell a bit, and then you somewhat second-guessed yourself but thought about the bigger picture.
Yep.
How one of the barriers you were facing the first time we spoke was knowing how much to put in.
Mm-hmm.
How did you kind of think through that?
As in how much to keep consistently putting in?
Yeah.
Well, I know what I put aside from my salary in terms of like budgeting what to spend and all of that. And I thought, well, if I'm putting this aside, I made probably an internal risk assessment as to if this all goes seriously pear-shaped, which it's pretty unlikely to do.
Yes.
But, you know, if it does, then how much would I be like, that kind of sucks, but whatever. And so I accordingly attuned a percentage of my normal savings quota of my budget to go into this and then did the set model. But
I think that's good because at the end of the day, we always say put in what you're prepared to lose.
Yeah.
And if you did an internal risk assessment. And that's why
you had that whiteboard in your
room. It wasn't by PwC standards or anything, you know, it was more of just to have a quick think about it. But,
So in percentages, what do you think you're investing of that savings chunk that would be going otherwise into the bank, roughly?
Off the savings chunk that would be going into the bank, I would say probably a third.
Mm-hmm. Wow, 100 grand. That's heavy.
Nice. Okay, that's good.
Not 100 grand to clarify. But.
You've teased us with your bloody day trading strategy that you mentioned before, selling in and out of positions.
Okay.
I can't wait any longer. I need to ask.
Yep.
What did you do? You were putting this more money in. You were being sensible. You were like, how much can I afford to lose? Let's put in that in the market. And then you tell us that you've been trading.
Okay, so I am only on CommSec Pocket for a start. And I mean, it's a liberal interpretation of trading, I suppose. the mistake I made, I think, would be when I saw things going well, I got a little bit keener and then put more. That's why I'd say, you know, 30% roughly. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw things going... less well. I scaled back to the point where I actually cancelled my recurring sort of.
Oh, okay, but you didn't sell. You just cancelled your recurring deposit.
Cancelled and put in less. But then what I did was when I saw it going a little bit further south, I was like, you know what? I think I can beat this.
Okay, here we go.
And then I did things like I didn't pull out of anything. I don't think I sold anything, but I put more into, that's a lie. I did actually, because I saw one particular one, which I can't remember at the moment, losing consistently more than the other two. And so, cause I don't think I held more than three ETFs or four maybe at
I
any.
I bet it was a tech exposed one.
Any given time.
A number of weeks ago.
And I saw that going south and I was like, nah, took it out. And then I was like, oh, well, you know, health has got to go up with the coronavirus vaccine. Like we've beaten this, fellas. It's done. We're good. And so I put more into that and that didn't really perform as well as I thought it would. So there was a little bit of gamifying going on in that sense.
What was the result of
the game? Yeah, I was going to say, did you win?
The net result, no.
Okay, good. Good
no.
lesson. Devo, if you said yes, because it goes against everything we talk about.
Yeah, okay. No. So, do you want to know how much I'm down in terms of percentages?
Well, I mean, you don't have to give us that, but I think the main message is that by trying to play the market, you inevitably came out worse off.
Yeah.
I think not only did you come out worse off, but you, when they go down, like that's the opportunity to buy because things are cheap, and that's when you sold.
Yep.
So you really played yourself.
Yeah, I did. I played myself.
Did you take any kind of a lesson from that?
Yeah. So I think that, well, one of the lessons, aside from what Ren has just said of buy when it's down, buy the dip, all those ones, is just I should have stuck more to the set it and forget it model. And I could be wrong, but maybe this is a particularly true of investing in ETFs as a long-term play. I mean, if you're some genius day trader, maybe you can play that game with individual stocks, but with ETFs, the impression I'm getting is put it in there and kind of just leave it for the long run.
Yeah, let it tick away, yeah.
Yeah.
So we touched on the concept of dollar cost averaging in the three-part series, did we?
Perfect. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
No, you did. You did. Yeah. And you just
didn't obviously didn't sink in.
No. Well, I can't remember the intricacies of the theory, but I get the general gist.
Yeah. So, like, if ETF is trading at $20 and you're putting $30 in that week, you can buy 1.5 units of the ETF because 20, and then you get a half. A 10.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, thanks.
But then if it falls, if it falls to 15, then you can get 2. And so, like, if you're dollar cost averaging consistent dollar amounts, you can buy more when the price is low. So, like, that's the beauty of dollar cost averaging, that it automatically buys the dip.
Okay.
And so, have you consciously adjusted your strategy since that time?
So that was probably I stopped fiddling around with it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, initially I didn't look at it at all, and then I kind of went the other way and started looking a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And now we've reverted back to let's just leave the auto deposit situation. And
so you're auto depositing the same amount into all three ETFs?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
That's perfect. Every paycheck?
Yep.
Great. So, I mean, we could touch on resources, but it feels like you haven't really gone deep on trying to understand about more ETFs or individual stocks, or have you, or like
in your more active phase where you were checking at heaps, were there any other resources you were checking a lot?
No, not in terms of specifically well,
other than internal audit reviews.
No. There was no insider trading going on. I wasn't looking at other ways to invest, other platforms, so to speak. But what I was doing is taking more of an interest in the things that the companies and industries that I was invested in.
So when the ETF, for example, I'm assuming the one that was falling more than the others would have been the one that had more exposure to the tech companies, because if this was within the last month or so that you're talking about, the tech did have a bit of a sell-off.
Mm-hmm.
Did you try and figure out why that was performing worse than healthcare, or did you just make some sort of assumption?
Yeah, look, I tried, but I didn't do a very good job. Like, you know, because you can, if you already know the conclusion, then you can try sort of lead yourself down to a justification of why that is. But in reality, I don't think I was able to identify the specifics of why it was happening.
Mm. That's fair.
Unless you were getting into bonds, inflation and yields, scares and yeah, all sorts of shit, rising bond yields.
Haven't had the time yet to look into that.
So then I think it's great that you have continued, because I honestly, as I said, thought that this would just be like a three-parter, and I'm really, it's good, because
honestly,
I think
I credit the Equity Mates community with at least 50% of the money.
Oh, for sure.
You start getting some good feedback, and you're like, okay.
If that's all it takes, that's what it takes.
Look, I was actually surprised, because I thought I was going to get in here and you guys were going to be a little bit disappointed, and maybe you are, that I haven't branched out.
No.
See, I feel like the bar was so low.
Well, right? No, I think the message here is that you don't need to branch out. Like, so many people do what you do, and I fall in that trap of trying to play the market within the first 6 months of your investing journey, and you think you can beat it, and you inevitably lose money. And I think the message really is there is absolutely nothing wrong with doing exactly what you're doing. There is nothing wrong with choosing a few ETFs and just letting it run.
The idea of branching out in itself is wrong. Like, it's not like you're a better investor because you move to a full service broker where you can buy individual stocks. Like, you're getting exposure to the same companies buying through CommSec Pocket. Like, you just need exposure to the market.
Yeah.
There's no bloody, like, rankings where it's like, I've got a full service broker, so I'm a better investor than you.
Yeah, really? Yeah. That's what you say all the time. I hear you walk around the house calling people and telling them.
I think the next stage is really thinking about, can you increase the amount that you're putting in, or, you know, those sorts of things around how can you amplify what you're doing at the moment, because I don't think there's anything wrong with at all with what you're with your current setup. I mean, by all means, if you're feeling confident or feeling like you want to explore investing in single stocks, then absolutely nothing wrong with that as well. But the way we talk about it is, you know, maintain what you're doing and have that as 90% of your core investing strategy, mm-hmm. and then take 10% of what's going in and have a play in Apple or you think that.
The big caveat being, like, if you have the time and the inclination to do that, and you've already told us you're lazy, and you tell me every day how busy you are at work. So,
yeah, I'm always getting chirched.
So, like, if
I am busy,
if you don't have the time or the inclination, you don't have to do that, but, like, that's, you know, if you do, that's
Look, Krenners, one day when you're successful, you'll realize that you make times.
Okay.
But no, to Bryce's point, I was that's basically what my plan is now. So I was giving you that percentage of 25% to 30%, scaled back on slightly on what goes into the ETF, and then leave the difference to start tinkering.
Before we comment on that and move forward, we'll just take a quick break and hear from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I just want to pick up on something you spoke about there, which was scaling back on what you're putting into ETFs to then redivert some to other stocks. Personally, my approach would be to continue with the amount you have going into ETFs and add a little more if you wanted to start playing around in stocks.
Yeah, look, I'm open to it. I mean, I didn't know where the, because we haven't talked about it, whether 25 to 30%
well,
sort of
let's take a step range back. Sat. Let's take a step back and talk about money habits. And I guess the first thing is, so you're saving 70% of that money that you were saving before still. Do you have a particular savings goal that you're saving towards, or is it just like saving for saving's sake?
Yeah, BMW M3.
No, I think we touched on this in the past. It just, you know, I don't spend it. It's pretty much as simple as
very,
that.
Very low effort lifestyle.
Yeah, you know, in the long term, of course, to buy a house and all of that. But yeah. I don't have a particular figure that I'm going for. As I need a 20% deposit for this value, so on and so forth.
And so what we talk about, and like what a lot of the personal finance gurus, I guess, for want of a better term, talk about, is having 3 months of expenses set aside as an emergency fund and having that in cash. And then if you're saving for a particular thing, house deposit, new BMW, you know, whatever it is, then
BMW chat coming from just calling.
Sorry, new Mercedes. then, like, you save towards that, but, you know, just having more cash in the bank for no particular reason, it's sort of like, well, you're playing yourself on the low interest rate.
No interest. So, interested to know if there are any sort of preconceived notions that you had about investing that have somewhat changed since starting and to where you are now.
Well, for a start, as I already touched on, I thought it'd be more difficult to get into the market. I think, at least for ETFs, CommSec Pocket, probably the easiest way to do it. Perhaps in the next step, could be a little bit more challenging. But that was one. The difficulty is not as high as I'd expected. Another one would be with my very rudimentary day trading, as Renner's called it. I wouldn't call it that. I thought that it wouldn't be as difficult as it was to, and this is going to sound so dumb, to time your purchases and your sells.
Yeah, yeah. And I can completely understand that. And I think, as we've touched on, a lot of people feel like that. But and there's no point sort of recovering the ground. But you don't have to do that. Just as you've already pointed out, let it kind of tick away. And inevitably, you've probably seen that what you saw when your stocks went down, it's probably subsequently recovered and you might be back in the green.
Yeah, well, beginner investor, you know.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Don't get me wrong. You can definitely try and beat the market, but you're going to need to spend a lot more time.
Let's see.
So, of course, you are somewhat, 6 months into your journey. Mm-hmm. Not a huge amount of time, but we always like to get a piece of advice from anyone who has...
Well, Bryce has
Bryce has
called you a hero twice in this interview. So, do you want to give some advice for anyone who hasn't got started from... Bryce Lesky described hero.
Okay, I would say, I guess the number one thing is just to have a go, because I wouldn't say lazy again. It's important to say.
I'm hearing lazy. But, that's what I'm saying.
But look, if it's not something I'm interested in, I don't really have much time for it, and this wasn't really something that, as we discussed, I had been interested in.
Mm.
But since, you know, taking more of an interest, I have now become a lot more interested in it. Mm. And I guess if I can do it, anyone can.
So, quote, title of the episode.
Yeah,
dive into the market head first.
So it's interesting you say, not the last thing you said, but how you got more interested when you started. And that's something that we try and talk about on the podcast. Definitely true for my investing journey, that once you got skin in the game, once you got money in the market... You're a lot more willing to learn, I think is... and
I am a lot more willing to learn, And interestingly, not just trying to, you know, plug you guys, but your Equity Mates discussion page on Facebook.
Yeah.
The more I visited it, obviously, Zuckerberg knows his algorithms in and out. He pumps my newsfeed with them now. Probably too much, but... that has kind of kept me in the loop and kept it at the forefront of my mind as well. Yeah. So I read people talk about stuff and I'm like, oh yeah, Zip, Afterpay, cool. And then I start having a think in my head about how the market is going, and then how maybe, and I haven't made this leap yet, how maybe I could jump in on that action.
Yeah.
As well as knowing that there are other people out there who are my age who also, you know, invest in stuff, because the non-investor's perception of an investor is some Scrooge McDuck old guy.
Mate, I'm fit and young.
Penny pinching, Excel spreadsheet wielding.
Caged egg bar.
Hey. That's changed.
That has changed after a lot.
Jeez, we're about to get cancelled.
Let's not cancel Equity Mates.
Shout out to the Equity Mates discussion group, though. Keeping Roey engaged.
Keeping Roey
tough
engaged.
Task, and they've done it. Yeah. So maybe this is too much to ask, but maybe we should get a Roey appreciation post going. Discussion group.
Actually, I've been a long time lurker, first time poster. Won't say what I posted, but it was well received.
You know what it was.
Well, but you posted it under your name. People can just find it.
True.
All right. So to kind of just close it all out, you know, we've spoken about the fact that you're obviously going to continue ticking away with the ETFs. How do you kind of see the next stage from here? Is it just to continue doing that? You did mention at the start of the show you'd kind of like to discuss the individual stock stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've convinced you out of that or not, and we're not here to try and do that, but where are you kind of seeing the next stage?
Okay, and I guess that's where I need your help with this is... I want to invest in individual stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I start? Because when I want to invest, you pointed me in this direction. Actually, I didn't say I want to invest. You guys just hounded me and said, this would be the easiest way for you to invest. But now I'm saying I do want to invest in individual stocks.
Let's start with a few questions. Do you want to invest in Australian stocks or overseas stocks?
Probably a little bit of both. Interestingly, on that note, I wasn't interested in it then, and I'm still not that interested in the ASX Top 200.
Fair call.
You hate Commonwealth Bank and Afterpay?
No, it's not that. Obviously, don't hate Commonwealth because I'm using Commonwealth
Pocket. Yeah, true.
You just played yourself.
Yeah, you've got me there.
But I probably have. So my media exposure is more towards international markets in the United States. Mm-hmm. So that I think would be where I'm leaning to. The media that I consume is probably more US centric rather than reading the AFR. Mm. Well, nothing wrong against the AFR. You know, great publication. Open to sponsorship.
Yes. Yes.
We should get Rowie a personal sponsor.
True.
And take a commission, of course.
good to know, because obviously what broker you choose will obviously be important when it comes to investing internationally or domestically. There aren't a whole heap of brokers that offer both, but some that do, and this is obviously not sponsored and you need to go away and figure it out, but there is Self Wealth. They now offer US and Australian. Mm-hmm. IG offer US and Australian, and there are a couple of others, Interactive Brokers. I wouldn't kind of suggest them, but
the minimums are high.
Yeah.
So, but like Stake is just US. So if you want only US but not Australia, mm-hmm. CMC are both, aren't they?
CMC are both as well.
Then like the big four banks offer international markets, but they're more expensive.
Much more expensive.
No hate on ComSec, as we said.
I knew they would be more expensive. You know, just have a vibe.
Yeah. The other thing to, I think about is that it's an incredibly dynamic market at the moment when it comes to brokers, and they are all kind of competing for the same people, which is you and I and Ren, who want to be obviously investing both here and overseas. Mm-hmm. So signing up to one now that is just US, if that's the route you wanted to go down, doesn't mean you're locked into that broker at all. And if something else comes out in the next 12 months or whatever it may be, changing brokers is
switch the styles up.
Super easy.
No locking contracts, no switching fees.
And you can
play the field.
You can transfer your stocks
just
across
like,
to the other
just
broker.
Just like Bryce on Tinder, play the field.
That is not true. I've got a long-term girlfriend.
Must be nice.
A reminder, bro, you're single.
So that would be the first. Yeah, so those that we threw out there, go and check out. I think for us, it's all about fees.
Yep.
You want to be paying the lowest fee possible.
You said Self Wealth, Instagram.
IG, yes.
And what was the other one?
Stake.
Stake, I remember for the US markets.
Yeah.
So actually, this brings me then to another question. There's plenty of routes I want to go down, but, you know, trying to draw from your own experiences as a beginner investor, would you suggest I start Australian or start US, or it doesn't really matter?
It doesn't really matter. Like back in the day, you would say we have so much more information about Australian companies. We live and breathe them every day. And so it's just a safer bet in terms of knowing what you're investing in to invest in Australia. But that just isn't true anymore. Like our media consumption is international. Like, we know as much about what's going on in international companies as we do about Australian companies.
And you've made that clear.
We use foreign companies more than we do Australian companies, like Apple laptop in front of us. Rode microphones, shout out to a very good Australian company, but not publicly listed. But like, you know, all around us, international stuff. So it's like, there's really no difference. And in some ways, we actually know more about US companies because they're the ones we use the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anything, you've indicated that you're more likely to be engaged with companies overseas than here in Australia anyway. So you've probably answered your own question around where would be the best place to start.
You work for a European listed company, so maybe you look.
Get into the specifics.
Because you're unlikely to follow.
Europe's a big place. No one's going to figure that out.
You're unlikely to follow.
It's not Latvia, I'll tell you that right now.
You're unlikely to follow news updates on Rio Tinto and Fortescue compared to, you know, Apple and Facebook, for example. You know, so in that sense, it's probably a better opportunity to look overseas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then once you've decided where you want to invest and you know who you're going to sign up with, then the question is really, what do you do next, I guess? And really, there's a number of different ways you can start looking for the right investments. You can do like a screen and you can look for like strong financials, strong balance sheet, stuff like that. I'm just assuming, maybe I'm wrong, but that probably doesn't float your boat.
Clearly doesn't. We'll take the silence as an answer.
So there's probably two ways that I would suggest going about and then finding a stock. The second would be think about what you use, what you know, companies you interact with at work and your personal life, stuff like that. Obviously at work, no insider trading. Important rule. But
I mean, how tight are they on that principle?
Very tight. Let's make
that clear. Run the gauntlet. Run the gauntlet.
No, let's make that clear.
No one will know, mate. It's the old Australian. She'll be right. Throw it in there.
Three of us talking. Let's make it very clear.
Yeah, very clear. No insider trading.
No insider trading. Not that I'd ever even consider it or be susceptible to it if anyone from work is listening. Very important to stress that.
So the second option is... think about what you know. It's like Peter Lynch, who was this famous US investor, really talked about this style of investing. There's so much information around you, and that can be a really good starting point to think about, you know, what companies you are engaging with, or like when you're talking to your mates, what are things that they want to buy, what are things that they're really excited about, and what companies make them or provide those services. And then that can be a starting point. So that's the second one. Third one is follow the experts. There's so much free information from the best investors in the world sharing what they're investing in, why they're investing in it. And so if you just start consuming that information, you get a really exciting watch list very quickly.
Okay. This next question may well be cut, but I'd asked this last time and I didn't get an answer, and I'm going to ask it again. On that follow the experts, eToro has a feature of follow the top traders.
Mm.
What's the deal with that? Not saying I'm going to do it, but just what's the deal?
The deal is that they incentivize their most successful traders within the community to allow people to follow their portfolios. And then you can also turn on a function where you can mirror their portfolio.
That's
and
what if I'm they, referring to, yeah.
If they make trades subsequently... and I don't know the mechanics of it. I don't know if it automatically makes trades for you or it alerts you that these guys are making trades, but you can essentially mirror the moves that they're making. My sort of caveat to that is that it is set up and sort of plugged as a trader mentality. So they're going more often than not in and out of positions a lot quicker than if you were to say, I'm buying Apple for the long term and I'm here to stay.
Yep.
So, yeah.
But even beyond that, like, it's your money.
Yeah.
You have to be ultimately responsible for it. This idea of just like outsourcing it to some person who's doing well on an app that you share, like, I hate that. I hate the whole social features on some of the other brokers as well. It's like, if it's for ideas, great. But like, don't just blindly follow someone else.
But
like,
isn't that in a way sort of, and I could be completely like wrong here, but isn't that in a sense sort of what you're doing with ETFs is you're outsourcing the investing to someone else?
But you're not actively making decisions about what to buy, to invest in, when to sell, stuff like that. What you're doing with ETFs, I mean, the traditional ETF
was... it's more of a basket.
Than yeah, yeah, yeah. And stock, they're not trading in and out, and you have to make the decision, do I trade in and out as well?
Yeah. Okay. And so, like... the best analogy would be, you know, if you give your money to a professional funds manager and you buy into their managed fund, yeah, sure, you're outsourcing the responsibility, but like, they're a professional, they've got teams of analysts, like, you can check on their performance.
Nice.
And like, it's a bit of a different situation to finding a pseudonym on eToro that you like the vibe of and you want to follow them. So yeah, you're right. There are ways you can outsource it, but it's just about managing your risk, because like, this eToro trader isn't going to be responsible if you lose money. And
is that really even doing what you wanted to do, which was explore investing in individual stocks?
No. That's I don't want to do this at all. I've just been curious because, you know, Alec Baldwin makes a very compelling case for eToro in those Instagram ads.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's doing the laundry. Yeah. He's talking
yeah,
stocks.
Don't get me wrong. It's a good it's a good sort of business model from them, I guess, to attract people in and make it feel
easy. It just
seemed
oversimplistic, which is, I was like, there's got to be a catch here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, there's a couple of schools of thought in like investing in general, and Bryce and I very strongly come down on the idea that anyone can understand it. It is accessible and people should take control of their own investing outcomes. There are businesses like eToro and not all eToro, but this particular feature in eToro and a bunch of other businesses out there, you know, all those like spam bot trading systems you get on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, who are very much playing to the other end of what we try and talk about, which is we'll just take it off your hands. Don't think about it. We'll make you money. And like, I hate that so much.
You may as well just stick to your ETFs.
Yeah. Like it's your money. Like you got to be responsible for it. Like,
I guess they're trying to capture the social media market with the, I wouldn't say lazy, but the less active investor, and trying to sort of, you know, leverage that into getting people's money and then investing it.
Well, it's like, it's a byproduct of the fact that investing markets are incredibly confusing. And like where there's something that's so confusing, like people who prey on that will prosper, and people who will say, we'll demystify, but we'll just take control of it.
Yeah, you're not going to learn anything doing it.
Yeah. Like at the end of the day, like what you found when you invested in ETFs, that it was a lot easier to do and a lot easier to understand than you first thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same when you start talking about individual companies as well, but it's just, you have to break through that.
Yeah.
That first step.
I guess going back to where we sort of started this discussion of what's the next step, and I said, you know, individual stocks, and you said, okay, find brokerages that would be conducive to what you're trying to do. So I would find a brokerage, but back to the kind of dumb questions that I had, or the beginner's questions that I had with Comsec Pocket, when you go in, I'm presuming that you don't, it's not like a sports betting account where you just put in a bunch of cash and then
decide. Yeah, it's exactly the same. Like a sports betting account.
But what I mean is, do you put in a deposit and then choose from that deposit, from that holding, into where you want it to go? Yes. Or
like
do you just...
It's cash, like in your holding account, exactly like a sports bet account. Bryce can tell you all about his sports bet account.
Not true.
And then it's in cash, and like, let's say you, for argument's sake, you have $2,000 in cash, and then you want to put, you decide you want $500 into Apple. It's literally like online shopping. You search Apple, you say buy 500, say what price you want it at, or you just say you'll take whatever the market price is.
So let's assume you do stake. You'll transfer it in. They'll convert it to USD. They'll take a clip on that, obviously.
Fair enough. Nothing's for free.
Yes. Once it's in, converted
except
in.
Except for Equity Mates Investing Podcast.
For now.
Once it's in, it'll sit in there. And you can sit it in there for as long as you like until you feel comfortable to make a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing about stake as well is that you can buy fractional shares. So, for example, Berkshire Hathaway at the moment is trading at $312,000.
US.
But you can probably buy two of them.
I'm not going to buy two shares at $312,000.
What are you talking about?
No, kidding. But what it means is you could say that you want to still get exposure, and they allow fractional investing, so you could buy $50 worth of Berkshire.
Yeah,
you could buy $100 worth of Apple, $100 worth of Amazon, still get the same percentage returns or declines that the stock will, but it'll just be applicable to your amount that you put in.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that is what I would encourage, and we sort of say it on the show as well, dip the toe in the water and start small. Don't go large, $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever on one stock and then just close your eyes, because you want to understand how the stock moves and what moves it, what's going on.
I've got a few key takeaways from what we've discussed so far. Brenners, I hope you're taking notes. Well, one is know what you're investing in and follow it. Number two is, after I've selected a brokerage, make a choice between, well, select a brokerage that facilitates investment in either the US or the Australian or any other markets.
Consider fees,
of course.
And also know that you're not locked in.
Sure. This really could have been a second sponsored segment, you know.
I know.
Missed opportunity. I am thinking, you know, like, why not both? So I might do a little bit in Australian and a little bit in the US.
Sure.
And go down that route. So that being said, do you have any advice for me? Anything I should be wary of? Any mistakes that common investors make? Anything I should look out for to ensure to do? One, obviously, I think you've already said, is watch what you're doing, because I think the set and forget model for some stocks isn't really applicable.
Yeah, when you're talking about individual stocks, the set and forget model always needs some nuances, because the set and forget model really came about because the market over the long term just continued grinding upwards. But in that time, individual stocks...
Company might not necessarily do that. Yep.
And then, like, at every generation through history, there's a basket of stocks that kill it for a while, and everyone's like, we can hold these forever, we don't need to think about it. But inevitably, they fall off. So, like, there was a Nifty 50 back in the days. It was, like, 50 stocks that wouldn't fail. Eventually, a lot of them failed. These days, like, big tech is just killing it. Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, all of that. But inevitably... you know, at some point their growth will slow, or they'll be overvalued and they'll have a period of underperformance. So, performance. So, so yeah, like when you're talking about individual stocks, you can't just buy and close your eyes. You can buy and hold for a very long time, but you just got to make sure that they're still good.
Yeah, the caveat to that is to not play the game in the short term with what you buy.
Don't... There's a big middle ground.
Yeah, between, huge middle ground.
Well, I guess it's that whole learning experience of where is that middle ground.
Exactly. And you are inevitably going to make mistakes and lose money. It's happened to me. It's happened to Ren. And I think the main thing is to recognize that you will. But as you pointed out, figure out what you're prepared to lose and make calls on that. But... individual stocks brings a whole new world of feeling emotionally connected, and it's going to go up 10% and then it might drop 6% and then another 6% the next day. And you just need to figure out what type of investor you are when it comes to doing this sort of stuff. You might invest in individual stocks and just try and play the game too often and think, honestly, that is just not for me. I'm just going to put my money in ETFs.
Yep.
Perfect. You might be a savant day trader by the end of the year and figure out that you should
never know.
So I think until you're, as you pointed out, until you're in it, you don't really know. And same applies for individual stocks. So,
yep.
So two things that we haven't touched on when you're thinking about investing in individual stocks, but I think they're important. So we spoke about where do you want to invest, and we spoke about how do you start finding stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Two other important things are, first of all, what's your goal in terms of investing? You know, like when we were talking about investing in ETFs, it was, you know, long term, like I guess getting money for retirement, maybe trying to retire a little bit earlier than you would if you were just taking your salary. And if that's still your goal, great. But if you have different goals, it'll change the way you invest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing to think about, because that'll change. And that leads onto that'll change how you invest. And that leads onto the second thing, which is your investment philosophy. So we've spoken about day trading a little bit. We've spoken about sort of buy and hold. There are other philosophies like value investing and, you know, stuff like that. Whatever philosophy sounds right to you, and again, you can change your mind as you learn more and stuff like that, but that will change what companies are worth investing in your mind. Like if you're a day trader and you're looking at charts, a company may be a great investment, but for me, as someone who's looking for like long-term compounders, it's a terrible investment. And so I think knowing how you want to invest before you start investing is important, or at least thinking about that. So your goals and your investment philosophy, thinking about that up front rather than just sort of spraying and praying and hoping that you make a bit of money is important.
Okay, so in terms of investment goals, my short-term goal is familiarizing myself with the market, because I think after I've done that, I can have a somewhat credible investment philosophy. If I was to say, if I was to try and give you an investment philosophy right now, I would be talking out of my backside, basically. Yeah. Well, a lot of this has been that anyway.
A lot of your life has been that.
I don't think that I could give you an investment philosophy right now. In terms of investment goal, first priority is to, get a feel for the market, understand how things work, and sort of figure out where to go from there. In the longer term, I suppose it's solidify my long-term financial security.
Yeah.
Find another financial stream that will lead towards that.
Yeah.
Rather than just my less than ideal interest rate in the bank.
Yeah.
So that kind of is where I'm going for in terms of investment goals. Investment philosophy, get back to me.
Yeah, that's a discussion that probably we're not going to have time to talk about on this episode, but maybe we can talk about it offline over a beer at some point.
Well, I was just going to say it feels like the perfect cliffhanger to leave the conversation there. I think we've covered a lot of ground, and I think there's going to be no doubt that we will have you back on in a few more months to
my recurring guest spot.
Hopefully with a personalized sponsor.
Hopefully
if you guys pay for the beers, because yet again I am had to self fund the beers.
Actually, no, Flynn paid for the beers this time. Shout out Flynn. But I was going to say, Roe's wearing a white shirt and I could see a sponsor's logo right
across. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to get these guys?
Must be nice. Hit us up, contact at equitymates.com if you want to be Roe's personal sponsor.
But let's leave it there. As I said, covered a lot of ground. Stoked that you're still in the markets. And I know that many of the questions that you've asked today will certainly be applicable to a lot of the members in the Get Started Investing community. So thank you, Roe, and very much looking forward to picking up on your investment philosophy and perhaps some of the individual stocks or maybe even just the brokers that you have decided to go with in a few months' time. So no pressure to do any of that if you don't want to, but we'll get you back on.
I reckon Roe's going to be dripping in gold chains. When turns out he was a savant day trader.
Got like a Gucci jacket.
Yeah. Rocking up in that BMW we've been speaking about.
My entourage waiting outside.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. Roe, thank you for joining us as always.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Looking forward to maybe the next episode.
And just a reminder that You're in Good Company launched today, another one of Equity Mates Media's podcasts. We're very excited about it. Sophie and Maddie will be the hosts of the show, and they're going to be improving the conversation of investing, particularly amongst women. So head over and check that out. It's going to be following their journey of investing, as well as Comedian V Economist and Meet Pay Love, two other shows in our stable.
Yeah, I think, and you know, you hear every podcaster in the world say this, and it sounds very cliched, but it actually does make a difference. If you like what Equity Mates are doing, if you hope Roe comes back on, if you hope we have podcasts for Roe to come back onto, it really does help if you rate and review. It gets it in the iTunes charts. It gets more people listening. It grows the Equity Mates community. The more people in the Equity Mates community, the more people in the discussion group, the better the conversation is. That benefits you. Look at that network effect. Jeez. Right there. So, you know, if nothing else, please do rate and review positively, hopefully, all the shows, but especially You're in Good Company, because we want them to launch well. Yep. If you like Roe, you'll love Sophie and Maddie. No offense. So, yeah, that would be greatly appreciated.
All right, Ren, well, we'll leave it there. As always, great to chat stocks and great to chat with Roe, and looking forward to picking it up at some point in the next few months.
Sounds good.
Get Started Investing is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Get Started Investing are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find the ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Get Started Investing acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.